Welcome to Grails, a podcast by Alton Insights. My name's John Tunger, and I'm joined once again today by Sam Farber. He's the head of business development and content at Golden Auctions, and so obviously he has a very unique perspective into what's going on in the industry. We talk about Golden's brand new website and what's going on with them. And lastly, we talk about something that we haven't touched on in this podcast yet, which is Fanatics getting the licensing rights to create sports cards in the future from Panini and Topps. So a really interesting discussion on what the future of this industry could look like. Sam Farber, head of business development and content at Golden Auctions. Let's get started. Before we totally get started talking about all the exciting things coming down Golden's pipeline, I got to ask, from the very passionate Patriots fan that you are, the other week, a couple weeks ago, when Tom Brady came back to Foxborough, played against your team, how did it feel? Was that crushing? Was that, what was that like?
I didn't know how I would feel. I went to the game because I had to. I just felt like, generally, my attitude with going to sports games that are important is that they only happen, you know, once or a handful of times in a lifetime. And I've never once regretted going to anything. And even games where my team has lost, I went to the Super Bowl against the Eagles where they lost, and I didn't regret doing that and going out to snowy Minnesota for that. But I didn't know how to feel, and it was pretty gutting. It was awful, to be completely
honest. Did you
honest.
Want to root for Tom Brady? Be honest. Like, who were you rooting for?
No. I kind of knew this about myself, but I'm a really, really bitter fan in general. So if my team isn't winning and if you leave my team, I want the worst for you. Like I didn't know that that those feelings extended to Tom Brady, who's my favorite athlete I've ever rooted for. But that's how I feel. So I had no desire to root for Brady.
As a Raider fan, I'm like, I'm finally given permission to root for Brady, and it's been really actually fun. Like, I can put the whole Tuck Rule stuff a bit behind me, all that, because now it's kind of fun to be like, wow, this guy's, 49 years old and is just still slinging it, is going to play for another 10 years. Like, that's just fun. And the justice when they were playing against the Patriots, it was just, I felt it in my bones. Like, I loved watching my Patriot, the Patriot friends that I have just being like, man, this is, oh man, Tom Brady with time left on the clock to go down and he beats you guys. I was like, oh, the justice is real. So I'm sorry for that, but rest of us.
I figured that would happen. I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's like, you know, he's the most important athlete in the sport. And the 20 years that the Patriots had with him are the best 20 years of rooting for anything I've ever experienced. And I'm certainly the best that I'll ever experience. So I really, at the end of the day, I have nothing but like very positive feelings for him. And I'm just, honestly, I'm excited for the day that he actually does retire and I can just enjoy all the memories of him without the pain of seeing him like dominate for another team, which really sucks.
Mac Jones, you like him, or what are your feelings there?
Dude, I'm all in on Mac. I mean, it's really hard. It's just like anybody who came around the Bulls after Jordan, or anybody who came around any team after an all-time great, the comparisons are going to happen. Unfortunately for Mac, you know, his, you know, I guess technically it was Cam Newton, but his predecessor for 20 years is the greatest of all time. So I think it's absurd when people try to make the comparisons, because I don't think anyone's ever going to do what Brady has done. But he looks like a pro when you look around the league and you look around even, you know, Trevor Lawrence, who I think will have a very nice career, even Justin Fields, you know, Zach Wilson. You look at these other rookie quarterbacks and a lot of them look kind of lost, and Mac really doesn't. Like, he makes good decisions, makes his reads. He doesn't make mistakes. He looks poised. So I'm in, man.
Yeah, I think he's a baller. Like, he's actually, and it seems like he's just trending up. Belichick with a solid chip on his shoulder is a scary guy. Are you hoping to maybe get some cards once? I don't know. Are you waiting for like a prism to come out or something?
Oh yeah, I'm going to definitely overpay for Mac Jones cards. It's been a long time since the Patriots have had like, you know, a good offensive rookie, because they've had Brady for so long. They always trade their picks. They pick like defensive tackles or like left tackles with their first round. So the fact that, you know, the fact that they actually have an offensive player that's exciting is unique for me as a card buyer for sure.
Nice. All right. Okay. So you hopped on the show and instantly, I mean, you're just like, you know, how are you doing? And you say, well, I haven't slept for a couple of days, but we have a live website, right? The alarms are going off, the party starts, like what people have been waiting for a long time. The new golden website is up. I guess first, this just happened, a day ago. How does it feel to hit that big moment?
It's incredible. It's incredible because we've been waiting for it for so long. You know, with building any website and launching any website, there's always, you know, there's always delays and there's just, you know, there's all these different things that can go wrong. And for us, it's just something that we've been, you know, so focused on. And we have a team of people that have been working on it basically night and day for months and months and months. So to actually see it come to fruition and see the labor of everyone's, like the product of everyone's labor, it, you know, actually be out there in the wilds is pretty surreal, to be honest.
Was there a down to the wire moment where you're supposed to launch this thing in a couple hours, the Slack channel starts popping off because this problem popped up that nobody saw? Was there something like that happened?
I mean, there were just little, I'd say like small embers, like small fires. I don't think there's nothing that was like, that was wide scale. But yeah, I mean, we definitely wanted to get it in yesterday. We had sort of picked yesterday as the date and, you know, we had given ourselves a date, which, you know, I guess put some pressure on us to get it done. We got it in just under the wire Eastern time yesterday before the end of the day, but so we picked a date. So that was really like, we were scrambling towards that, but it was actually smooth. It was like, you know, I've done one of these before, but it was a little bit less public facing. A lot of the changes that were being made the last time I did this in my old job, but you know, this is about as smooth as it could go for sure.
So I'd love to talk about the platform. There's some awesome new features, right? Obviously a nice clean, UI. There's a new feature called Marketplaces, right? Where it's like you can actually go and trade cards and that kind of stuff. That seems like it's eventually going to be built out. Talk about some of those new features that are popping up.
Yeah, I mean, so first, you know, as you can see, like visually, it looks a lot better than the old one. The old one was a smidge outdated. So this one looks a lot nicer. So
just a smidge.
You know, it was the other one. The old one was lovable. But but this one definitely looks a lot nicer. There's a lot of cosmetic changes, which we think will, you know, just sort of elevate the entire experience. There's a lot of basic things that we did that seem basic, but are just essential for making a better experience for people. So things like, you know, sort of an instant bid button where you can just sort of bid right in the lot page and not have to go through 8 confirmations and, you know, raise your bid and see where you stand. And so there's a lot of things like that, better search and discovery. We're going to have, you know, once we have a lot more product in there as subsequent auctions launch, you know, we're going to have robust like structured data and tagging. So we're going to have a lot of different ways that you can slice and dice the stuff that we have. So there's a lot of different features like that, that are just honestly intended to make people's experience better and to make it easier to buy stuff and easier to sell stuff. Down the road, I mean, where, you know, we launched a vault a few months ago. There's, you know, all kinds of plans that we have for going beyond auctions and having more of sort of a, you know, buy it now or like an always on marketplace and other types of functionality beyond just auctions. And I'd say last is we're going to have simultaneous auctions that'll start actually probably before the end of the year. But
what do you mean? Explain what that means.
That means we'll have auctions that'll be going on at the same time. So, you know, we could have, you know, an auction with like incredible comic books going on and an auction with sports cards and sports memorabilia going on, concurrently, which I think like opens up a lot of opportunities for us and lets us serve you know, tons of different types of collectors at the same time.
Right. Or if you're new to the scene, basically the way they currently do it is it's like a block of a comic book, you know, type auction is happening now. And then after that, the next sports card big auction happens or big high end auction happens. But this multiple all at the same time, bringing in a ton of eyeballs to the site all at once. Yeah, totally. I even just looking like I love the the search functionality. So like I've been a Justin Herbert or something, and all these different Justin Herbert cards type start populating. It's just a lot easier to search around and try and figure out, hey, what kind of Justin Herbert card I'm looking at, or before it was maybe a harder filtering system. Yeah, I think it's really clean. There's also just it almost like the official, now it's Golden, not Golden Auctions. Maybe that happened a while ago, but now just first right there on the site, all you see is Golden. Is this kind of like an official pivot now for you guys to what you're trying to become?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So today was, we started to do it in certain places, but today is the official, you know, dropping of auctions and, you know, the first day of the rest of our lives.
Yep.
as just Golden, which, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we want to be more than just auctions. We plan to broaden the offering to other types of ways to transact and other types of products and all kinds of other things. So, yep. We're broadening.
Yeah. What would be that like elevator pitch of like, you know, now it's, is it just like we help people buy and sell, transact in all these different rare assets? Like, what is it sort of that you're like, if my elevator pitch of what Golden's becoming is blank?
I'd say it's like the most trusted collectibles marketplace. Hmm. That's how I would pitch it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me, the term marketplace, which you'll see at a few different, you know, parts on the website, but it's more than I actually just get this visual image. I have a lot of ADD, so this is where my brain goes, but I just get this like visual image of like kind of like a farmer's market, like people milling around when I say marketplace. But I kind of like that image, to be honest. I like that image because there's all different types of things for sale. There's like, you know, there's like all types of ways that things are sold and different types of like types of transactions. And like, I just think that's the image I actually like. I mean, it, you know, maybe that's a little more chaotic than we hope to have, but right. I think that it, you know, it allows us to deliver things to people, you know, in a number of different ways and make it easier for people to find what they want.
Right.
So that's it. That's basically it in a nutshell as to like what our, you know, elevator pitch would be.
Yeah. And so even since last time we talked, some of the new things like vaults, and it seems like there's kind of this, where you guys help people with peer-to-peer transactions. So for people who, you know, haven't done this kind of functionality, I think people still kind of put you in that auction bucket. So I over here have now it's kind of the joke on this podcast that I'm all about Jalen Hurts. My Jalen Hurts shares now are hurting pretty bad. But say I want to go and upload these things to my vault, right? At that point, is it like getting to the spot where people can go and look at like what cards John has on Golden and make bids there? How are you guys kind of thinking of that peer-to-peer transaction marketplace eventually being built out?
You can look at what somebody has in the vault, you know, if they want you to see it, but you know, you can display the stuff that you have, and you can also basically set a buy it now price. So the thought would be, hey, you know, it could be sort of price to move, or it could be like, hey, you know, everything is a price, right? I mean, I have a whole PC, a personal collection that everyone has. And, you know, I don't want, none of those things are for sale. I don't list them ever. I won't even entertain offers. But like, if somebody came to me, you know, with the right offer, if it was totally bananas, like, yeah, I'd probably sell it. You know, at the end of the day, right. I'll just buy another one and pocket the difference. Right.
Right.
So, I think there's, you know, so it could be a situation where someone like lists something for, hey, look, if, you know, if you gave me X, I'd let go of this thing, or it could be priced to move. There's also, you know, given the fact that we, you know, do have an auction platform as well, you know, it makes it easy. It's like, hey, if you want to go and sell this, you know, in our marketplace or in one of our auctions, it just makes it a lot easier and we can sort of take care of it for you. And yeah. Look, I mean, selling just as like a sort of singular collector out in the sea of collectors is not a fun experience.
Right.
For anyone who's tried to do it, it kind of stinks.
Yeah.
It's really, really tough. It's hard to get real offers. You have people who like try to come in like 60% comps. They're like, oh, I'll take it for that.
Right.
And it's really difficult. So I think there is a lot of value for us to basically say, hey, we'll keep this thing safe for you for as long as you want to have it. It's yours, like no pressure to get rid of it if you don't want to. Like it's here, it's insured, it's safe, all of that. And if the day comes that you want to, you know, sell it and roll that money into something else, or you want to just get the money, like we'll just take care of that for you. Like right. You don't even have to worry about it. We'll take care of it and it will enter our flow, our operation to be sold. And I think there's a huge benefit to that too.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Love to talk to people who are behind the scenes because you kind of have a vantage point on what's going on in the hobby that others don't. And so whether with sports cards or other memorabilia or even like comic books, that kind of stuff, what are you guys seeing behind the scenes, right? Are the trends continuing up like you guys expected? Is it similar to previous years in terms of sports cards and how they usually act? What are you kind of seeing?
I mean, look, I think the hobby's been, you know, kind of on a heater for 2 years,
yeah.
but you know, look, it's not been all up all the time. I think your, you know, bubble theorists that are out there who love to think in terms of absolutes, like everything is up and everything is down, or, you know, it's a big bubble and it blows up and then it just all explodes. Like that's just not how this market is a complex market. So as you mentioned, there's different verticals within it. And then within each one, there's different sub verticals within each one. So we've seen, you know, the surge of soccer and that's continued because I still think it's undervalued. You saw, you know, for instance, like in modern basketball, you saw, you know, the surge and then the sort of demise of base, you know, base rookie cards for modern right. players whose print runs were big. But that wasn't necessarily the same experience that happened with, you know, lower population or, you know, parallel cards. So it's not absolute. I would say overall, though, like market is definitely doing really well. We had a really big auction that just closed a couple weeks ago. We saw a ton of really big numbers in there. But we definitely are seeing, you mentioned comics, but we definitely are seeing a ton of interest in other types of collectibles. You see it in, you know, I'm sure everyone's following what's going on with crypto and what's going on with NFTs.
Right.
And it's impossible. Right. And that, you know, I feel like, look, those are also collectibles. So it's like, and a lot of times, you know, sort of there's a halo effect as those do well, that can also like sort of spill into physical assets as well, because people right. are thinking about, some people think about all types of collectibles as, you know, like an alternative asset that they're looking to buy and looking to invest in, looking to collect. So we've seen that that's definitely had a positive impact on like cardboard and on memorabilia and things like that. But I think, you know, we've definitely seen a good, you know, amount of interest in comics. We've seen a bunch of interest in like physical memorabilia, like game worn stuff. That's
yeah.
You ask Ken Golden, Ken's like very bullish. I mean, that's his background, but he's super bullish on game worn, and that stuff has definitely seen a good trajectory recently too.
That was going to be another one of my questions, because that's kind of the pitch, right? Is like a sports card is worth X amount, and how is game worn memorabilia, these significant items, still worth, you know, so much less? So that's not just rumor mill. You are seeing that start to trend up. And do you think it'll ever kind of take that first place in the rankings, you know, when it comes to like cards versus memorabilia? Like, it seems like that's the pitch. Do you think it actually could get there in like the somewhat short term future?
I mean, I just, there are little apples and oranges, because it's just, first of all, there's much more of a finite number of like game worn jerseys. And there's also like a finite number of game worn jerseys or game worn items of things of players that people like really want to collect. So there's an element of that that's out there. I also think that it's a little bit more of a niche market than trading cards are.
Right.
So I don't, but again, like, I don't know if it would, you know, necessarily like surpass the market cap of cards, like as a whole. But I think when you're looking at people who are trying to invest in or collect, you know, sort of scarce you know, pieces of memorabilia, or if they're sort of indifferent as to whether it's a physical card or whether it's a, you know, whether it's a game worn jersey. I do think that a lot of those things are, like, in my opinion, just like some of those things are just crazy undervalued. It's like, wow, yeah, that dude is a Hall of Famer. And that was a thing that he wore in a game that, you know, he passed somebody on a, you know, all time ranking list, or, you know, did something special. And it's selling for less than, you know, in some cases, like, you know, a parallel of like an okay, you know, rookie of like a modern basketball player. And you're like, that doesn't really make sense.
Right. Of a jersey that they didn't even, that has a piece of a jersey they didn't even wear, or they wore for 2 seconds, and, you know, the Panini just stuck it in the card, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly. It's like crazy to me that something with a jersey of somebody who like put it on for 2 seconds would be more than something that was literally worn by that player when they played in like a finals game or a World Series game. Like that's nuts. So I think people, like, the market is smart, man. I mean, people like figure stuff out. I mean, when you look at, like, I keep coming back to soccer, but like you look at soccer, there was a point, like, and there's like this kind of common sense, like, what is going on here moment, I think, that happens in this industry sometimes.
Right.
And you're like, you know, these like tier three modern basketball players are priced a certain way. And you're like, top five all-time soccer player cards were like at one point trading below, like, not even the best, you know, young modern basketball players. And you're right, like, okay, that probably doesn't make sense. It doesn't pass the smell test.
So right. And you're seeing the same F1, UFC, right? Like, totally, all these type of like other cards now are starting, like, that was a pretty easy trend to see. And now all of a sudden it's really starting to gain steam and catch up.
No doubt.
Just did a big auction, right, where a lot of those ones went off.
The like Lewis Hamilton stuff. I mean, I love the Netflix show. I got into it like a couple months ago literally by accident. I mean, I knew about it. I wasn't like super interested in watching it when it first came out. I was like, oh, this is something. And I think my wife and I just were looking for something to watch. We started watching it and got addicted to it. And now, like, I'm into those cards. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
Right. And then we're like the most spoiled F1 fans ever, where it's like the season's just been insane. So it's like such a epic time in history where Netflix, awesome season. It seems like an easy bet for cards, but not formal financial advice right here.
No, definitely. Definitely not. I mean, honestly, for me, like, I'm really just looking to collect stuff. But I just think, when you can get, to me, I enjoy having like the best of something, right? I like having like the best people to do something, the best athlete, best whatever it is, like best driver ever. And for me, like when I see opportunities where it's like, wow, I can have like something from the best, most dominant driver. I can have something from like one of the top five soccer players of all time. Like, to me, that's such a cool collectible to just get your mitts on. Like, that's like, you know, when those opportunities exist, because, you know, a market is just kind of on the upswing. Like, that's what I like to, you know, I like to focus. I just think it's fun. And I think it's fun to like learn about new sports and, you know, learn about new collectibles.
I'm kicking myself with Cristiano Ronaldo, because I grew up a Manchester United fan, followed him, played soccer as a kid. And then all of a sudden he switches back to Manchester United and his cards skyrocket. One of the greatest of all time, total no-brainer, just that his cards are awesome. So I'm definitely kicking myself there.
You know, it's funny, for all-time greats like that, it's so easy to like procrastinate buying them sometimes. I actually am kicking myself with LeBron, with like a lot of, like, I have a little bit, but I was like, yeah, he just is what he is. Like, he's just one of the best players ever. I'll just buy his stuff later. And this was like in 2018. And I was like, damn it, I can't buy any of this stuff anymore.
Yeah. What was $5,000 is now $80,000. Good luck, right?
Exactly. I was like, yeah, this one, okay, this will still be there. Like, how much more can he build the legacies? One in like multiple cities. Like, you know, yep, it happens.
And same thing with Tom Brady, the Boston fan in you. Like, and now it's like still going up. And you're like, does he have an end in sight? I don't think so.
Definitely not.
Lastly here, I just want to get your take. We haven't talked about this on Grails, but Fanatics now and taking over the licenses from Panini in the future here when it comes to cards, man, memorabilia, like Fanatics is just absolutely taking over. Curious how you think that's going to affect the market as a whole, but then even like I mean, it feels like they're even trying to come into the auctions game. Like, you know, you just kind of see the pathway that they're doing where they're like, how can we have a massive monopoly? what is your take on Fanatics entering the industry so hard?
I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, I think for us, it's more of, you know, from a golden perspective, it's like a wait and see. Honestly, from my like card collecting, like, you know, 10-year-old self inside a 34-year-old's body, it's also waiting, and it's sort of waiting and seeing,
right?
Because I think there's still potentially additional shoes to drop. I think it's a question of like what parts of the market they're gonna try to come into, right? It's like, I think their vision is pretty clear that they want vertical integration and they want to sort of like kind of house the entire ecosystem. My personal opinion is like that is much easier said than done. I mean, card manufacturing itself is really hard. And, you know, look, people love these cards, and who knows what name brand they're going to end up operating under. Who knows if they'll buy the one or both of the incumbents. I mean, there's all that stuff that could potentially happen. But, you know, grading is tough. I mean, it's not just important that your grading is accurate, but, you know, it just to build trust and build that among, you know, the card collectors, like that's just not something you can just like flip a switch. And even if the grading is objectively good, and even if you're using AI, like it takes time. And there's been a bunch of examples of companies who have tried to do that and have a hard time. And then when you're talking about the market side, when you're talking about like they're really good at e-commerce. I mean, that's their bread and butter business. They're incredible at it. And they basically have a monopoly of like sports e-com, right? Where they basically operate the team and league shop of like every team and league on the planet. And they're really good at that. So you could see like when you talk about sort of the lower end of the market, where maybe it's selling wax, but it could be selling even singles of like less expensive stuff at higher volumes. You know, I think they're really well positioned to do that. I think they're already doing that with memorabilia, right? Like where, you know, if somebody does a signing of, you know, thousands of things, you could buy, you know, a signed baseball or signed football or what have you. But when you start to like go into other markets, you start to go up market, that's much harder. You know, it's not a gigantic universe. Finding people who have the means to buy these things is not easy. I mean, it's why like we're good at what we do. It's why some of our competitors are good at what they do. It's just a different animal. And then of course, like things like, you know, buy it now and like a marketplace is very different than auction. Like there's just like, we're talking about a lot of really different things here. So I think honestly, my take is like, it's hard to say until things start to take a little bit clearer shape. I think at the end of the day, I think like when you're panning all the way out, at least this is me personally speaking, but I just think like the rising tide lifts all ships in a way, right? When there's more like institutional investment in the industry, in the hobby, I think that's good for the hobby. Like, I think it's good that there's more, you know, sort of high quality, like well-funded players in this space. I think that's good. I think it's going to like take this thing further and further out of the shadows and make it more mainstream, which is good for everybody. But I guess it really just depends on like where they end up and to what markets they end up trying to go into as to what I ultimately feel about it. But that's my two cents on it.
Yeah, that's a good two cents. Yeah, I like the rising tide mentality, especially with Fanatics that already has so many touch points to like broad audiences. Like you said, they like operate all these shops for all the different teams. You know, they have the emails and things from so many customers who've already bought. They have the relationships with the teams to promote, you know, maybe more random pieces of memorabilia or things like that, or cards, right, as they ratchet up. So I have not thought about that take before. I like that for the overall future of the industry. Thanks so much for coming on. New website. I feel like I should let you get some sleep here, but anything last that you want to shout out to the Grails audience?
No, thanks. Thanks for having me. Check out golden.co and check out the new site.
Brandon.
And let us know what you think, but I really appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I'll see you next time. For the lawyers in the back, a quick disclaimer. You understand that by listening to this podcast, you are not receiving financial advice. No content published here constitutes a recommendation that any particular security, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any specific person. You alone are solely responsible for determining whether an investment, security, or strategy, or any other product or service is appropriate or suitable for you based on your investment, objectives, and personal financial situation. Please speak with a financial advisor to understand if the risks inherent in trading are appropriate for you. Trade at your own risk. Bum, bum, bum.